Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Puddings, panna cottas, fluff, icebox cakes. All the no-bake desserts in the world are included in the new cookbook by our next guest and returning friend, Faith Durand. Last year, we celebrated the timeless casserole and her new twists on that classic concoction in Not Your Mother's Casserole. Today, Faith joins us to talk about her new book, Bakeless Sweets. Faith Durand also is executive editor of The Kitchen. It's a daily web publication about home cooking with more than 6 million readers a month. You can check out that link on our website at wosu.org/allsides. And best of all, she lives right here in Columbus, so she can join us in the studio. Check it out on wosu.org/allsides right now. You can watch us. Welcome back, Faith Durand.
Thank you so much, Anne. It's really exciting to be here.
So what inspired you? Well, I know what inspires me to look at the book and want to make recipes because I have a sweet tooth. What inspired you to write this kind of a cookbook?
You know, everybody loves pudding. I just think that everybody has a special place in their heart for tapioca pudding, butterscotch pudding, pistachio pudding, all these things that maybe their grandmothers would make when they were young. And I really felt like they deserve their own cookbook. And there were no cookbooks about puddings and no-bake desserts because this book isn't just pudding.
Yeah, but there was always a cookbook with a pudding recipe
or a
tapioca recipe in it, but never one that had a lot to choose from.
Right. This puts it all together. And it's not just puddings. It's also fruit jellies. It's panna cotta. And it's then icebox cakes, which, you know, everybody loves icebox cakes. They're sort of a Midwest picnic classic. And so they're in here as well. But it's just a book of very special recipes. They're special. They're wholesome. They're not made from boxed ingredients. They're just homemade.
I wanted to ask you about, as a matter of fact, the ginger snap and cinnamon icebox cupcakes.
Oh, yeah. Those are so easy.
Tell us about that recipe and what.
Yeah, those are just little cupcakes made with basically two ingredients, ginger snaps that you buy from the store, and you can even use gluten-free ones if you're gluten-free. And then you just layer them with whipped cream, and in the fridge, they become more than the sum of their parts. They sort of meld together and they get all cakey, like a cupcake, like a layered cupcake. They're wonderful. They're really delicious.
Two of my favorite flavors, ginger and whipped cream.
Yeah, whipped cream is a lot of people's favorite flavor, I think.
If you have a question or comment for Faith Durand, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about her brand new book. It's called Bakeless Sweets, Pudding, Panna Cotta, Fluff, Icebox Cake, and More No-Bake Desserts. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org or go to our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Maybe it seems obvious, but just to be sure, how do you define bakeless?
So it doesn't spend any time in the oven. So none of the desserts in this book ever go into the oven.
So you're buying the ginger snaps.
That's right. Okay. We thought about putting in, you know, a brownie recipe, a cake recipe, a ginger snap recipe, but in the end we're like, no, this is just bakeless sweets. And those are things you can buy at the store. And, you know, if you want to make your own graham crackers to make an icebox cake, more power to you. But I think part of even though I'm very much an advocate of making things from scratch almost all the time, I feel like this is one place where you can get very good products and they make a really, really awesome cake.
Right. And so it's just nothing in the oven. What about on the stove?
Yes. Almost everything spends some time on the stovetop, or at least a little bit. The stovetop is used to melt gelatin or to cook a pudding. Like a butterscotch pudding will spend time on the stove. You cook the butterscotch, and then you add the dairy, and it all comes together on the stovetop. And then you put it in the fridge, and it's all done and ready and waiting for you, which is one of the beautiful things about pudding. You can make it way ahead of time, and it's great when you take it out of the fridge.
It likes to sit around.
Yeah.
Spicy peanut and toasted coconut cookies you wrote were inspired by Jenny
Britton-Bauer's
Jenny's Ice Cream.
Yes.
Pardon me. Were inspired by her Bangkok peanut ice cream. And I was wondering, what were some of the other inspirations for your recipes?
Yeah, those, I love Jenny's ice, that particular flavor of her ice cream. So I was like, I want to do a recipe with coconut and peanut butter in it. Some of the other inspirations, you know, some of them are just very direct. Like I did a banana pudding parfait, which is, of course, the classic Southern banana pudding. I was just cooking in Colorado for a bunch of my husband's graduate students, and some of them had never had or heard of banana pudding. I was just floored. I was like, well, let me educate you because this is something you should know. So other inspirations, you know, I just kind of pulled from some of my own favorite flavors, like some of the puddings in the first chapter. I really love malted milk flavor.
The malted milk ball type.
Yeah, and it's so easy to incorporate in a pudding. I just use malted milk powder, so I do a malted milk pudding with a hot fudge sauce, and it's very much a special nostalgic treat that's sort of reminiscent of, you know, the old soda shop or something like that.
And fruits as well.
Yes, lots and lots of fresh fruit. These fruit jellies, which, you know, they're basically like Jell-O, but with no added colorants or weird sweeteners. They are just made from fruit juice or from fruit puree. You can just, if you get great strawberries at the market, you can just blend them up and cook them with just a tiny bit of plain gelatin and feed them to your kids. They're like Jell-O jigglers, but totally wholesome, just fruit.
Once again, 614-292-8513. If you have a question for Faith Duran, she's the author of a new cookbook. It's called Bakeless Sweets, Pudding, Panna Cotta, Fluff, Icebox Cake, and More No-Bake Desserts. How in the world, how did you decide, how many desserts are in here? How many recipes for
I think
starters?
About 125.
How did you come up, I mean, how did you decide how many? How many is enough?
Usually
it's
that's something
big,
you
fat book.
Yeah, that's usually something you decide on with the publisher. They have a page count they want to hit, and you kind of just talk about a good balance of recipes. And here I knew I had these different categories I wanted to hit, like old-fashioned, you know, cornstarch puddings, panna cotta, jellies, cakes, and cookies. So I knew I wanted to have it sort of well distributed amongst all of those. So you just go through and you start brainstorming. That's in some ways the most fun part of writing a cookbook is the beginning, when you get to brainstorm all these delicious ideas you're going to make.
Now, I know I had a favorite dessert when I was a child. It was something I'd actually make by myself when I would stay home sick from school. My mom was working, so I was home alone. And I know everybody out there has a favorite dessert, no bake dessert, that they associate with their childhood, with growing up, maybe their grandparents, something like that. Mm-hmm. Give us a call and share your story, because we always love to hear those. 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org, and you can also post it on our Facebook page. And if you tell me yours, I'll tell you mine. So please join the conversation that way. You wrote a recent post about how to write a cookbook. You said it was a collaborative project for you. In writing this cookbook, was it the same process as when you wrote your book about casseroles?
You know, this one was more fun because the casserole book was bigger and it was just a very intense process. That one had 225 recipes in it. So that was pretty intense. This one, doing the dishes was better, cleaning out pudding pots versus casserole dishes. Okay. My husband was much happier about that. He's so sweet. He does all the dishes. And then also on this one, I think it was a little more collaborative in the sense I actually brought in, do you know Devin Morgan? She used to be the pastry chef at Elaine. She's okay. A wonderful cook here in town. She often teaches at the North Market. Devin was sort of a consultant on the book. And so it was fun to work with somebody else on, you know, just to have someone to bounce things off of. It's a lot more fun to do a book like that. And then this one also, of course, has tons more photos. This one has like 50 or 60 photos in it. And so just doing the design and the photos was a bigger process.
And
with
it
this
wasn't
one.
Just photos of finished desserts.
Right.
All of those are beautiful, of course, and great to see. But it was also ingredients. Tell us about the one on page 101.
101. Let me look at that.
It looks brainy.
Oh, yeah. So I was very adamant that we get a shot of gelatin as it's dissolving. So before you work with gelatin, you sprinkle it, powdered gelatin, you sprinkle it on the surface of liquid, and it starts to absorb the liquid. We call this blooming. You bloom the gelatin. And as it does that, it sort of soaks up the liquid and turns into these little, almost like rivulets of like of gelatin.
It looks
and
like brain
it
matter.
Looks like a little bit like a brain. It's an awesome graphic look. And so I was like, we have to get a shot in the bowl of the gelatin. So that's what we put on page 101.
And then I was trying to figure out what the bowl of strawberries were. And finally you explained, well, they were a bowl of strawberries. They're just ingredients. And
yeah.
Tell us about that process and why you did that.
Yeah. So when we were shooting this book, you know, shooting a cookbook is a pretty intense process. We did it over 4 days. And actually, Stacey Nugent, who shot the Jenny's Ice Creams book, shot this book as well. Yeah,
okay.
She's wonderful. I love Stacey and I really love her visual style. But this book, everything had to be made and chilled ahead. And so we had a few hours of waiting for things to chill. So we did some shots of ingredients as well as finished dishes.
Which is nice to see, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they're beautiful. They're fresh and pretty and peaches and strawberries and things like that.
You are listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. More of this conversation with cookbook author Faith Duran still to come. We're talking about her new book, Bakeless Sweets, Pudding, Panna Cotta, Fluff, Icebox Cake, and More No-Bake Desserts. But first, membership director Rob Walker and WOSU, or I should say 89.7 NPR news reporter Mandy Trimble, both are here to tell you why you should support 89.7 NPR News.
Good morning. Thanks, Anne. You count on 89.7 NPR News for clear, concise reporting on the news that matters. And we count on you to help us keep that news on the air. That makes your annual financial contribution very important. I'm Mandy Trimble, as Anne said, and this is the 89.7 NPR News Spring Fund Drive. Please call with a gift of $50 or $100 to help us pay for the news that you use. That number to call is 1-866-897-9678 or give online at WOSU.org. And joining us now is Rob Walker.
Well, good morning, Mandy, and thanks to everybody who has participated in our membership drive. 1,100 people now have participated in this drive, and we appreciate it. This hour, for All Sides with Ann Fisher listeners only, we're offering Bakeless Sweets. It is the new book by Faith Duran. Make a pledge of $120 right now at 1-866-897-9678, and we will send this out to you as our way of saying thank you. This book does not use pudding powders or Jell-O. Faith Duran teaches you how to make your own. The book includes recipes for pudding and custards, real fruit jellies, icebox cakes, cookies, and more. It's our gift. 100 recipes, by the way, in the book. I just saw that. This is our gift to you when you contribute at $120 or at a $10 a month sustaining gift at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And Faith brought in some samples of that pudding, and I have to say it was quite tasty, so thank you very
pudding.
Much. You know, All Sides with Ann Fisher discusses the issues impacting life in Central Ohio and interviews lawmakers, policymakers, local business leaders, university professors, and many, many more types of guests. And on All Sides with Ann Fisher, the interviews are not just 5 minutes. She talks to her guests for 20 minutes, 40 minutes, often for an entire hour. All Sides allows the guests to have their say in a civil conversation and gives the guest time to talk. It's these types of conversations that are unique to public radio. So please support that now and continue the conversation. Visit WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
That's the way to support us here at 89.7 NPR News. And once again, if you contribute at the $120 level or higher, we're happy to offer you Faith Duran's new book, Bakeless Sweets. This book is also a quick reference guide that steers you towards 10 quickest recipes, 10 dairy-free recipes, and 10 recipes for a big crowd. Learn how to make chocolate coconut mousse, lemon cream icebox cake, Oreo icebox cake, butterscotch pudding, and more. $120 gift. We'll send this out to you as our way of saying thanks. You can do that as a sustainer for $10 a month as well. 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
You've heard us say that every dollar makes a difference, and we really do mean that. Listeners have made pledges ranging from $50 to $1,000 during this membership campaign, and it all adds up to the money that we need to keep All Sides with Ann Fisher on the air. So please consider the value that you get from 89.7 NPR News. Consider what fits into your budget, and then make your contribution. As we say, every dollar really does make a difference, and the number to call is 1-866-NPR. 877-996-7878. And thanks.
And thank you so much for your support of 89.7 NPR News. You know, if there's another thank you gift that you might have heard on All Sides with Ann Fisher, give our volunteers a call. They have that available as well. But this hour's thank you gift is Bakeless Sweets by Faith Duran. It's she's Ann Fisher's guest today. The book is full of great recipes and beautiful pictures. This is our gift to you for a $120 contribution or $10 a month if you're a sustaining member. And we'd love to see you come in as a sustaining member as well. Talk to our volunteers. They'll get you through the process. It'll be very easy at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
What are you passionate about? What are your hobbies? Well, 89.7 NPR News has you covered. You learn about a new author with an interesting story to tell on All Sides with Ann Fisher, and you hear about great places to eat in Columbus during All Sides weekend. You discover new music from coming up and coming artists. You hear about outdoor adventures in Ohio and across the country. You know, 89.7 NPR News brings you the stories and programming that connect your passions to the world around you. So join us today and become a member now. You know, You never know what new passion you'll ignite. So become a member today. Visit WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And thank you.
And thank you again for your gift of $120. And we'll offer you, as our way of saying thanks, Faith Duran's book, Bakeless Sweets. It's our gift to you at a $120 level at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
Support comes from Easton Shoes, continuing their spring trunk shows through April 27th. The latest styles from Waldlofer will be available this Saturday, located in the northwest corner of Reed and Henderson and online at eastonshoes.com. You and Easton Shoes, the perfect fit.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Faith Duran. We're talking about her new cookbook. It's called Bakeless Sweets, Pudding, Panna Cotta, Fluff, Icebox Cake, and More No-Bake Desserts. We're asking our listeners to give us a call and share a story about their favorite, all-time favorite no-bake dessert. You know you have one. I'll tell you what mine is if you give us a call and share yours. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Daniel in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Daniel.
It's so great to be on here. Thanks, Ann.
Tell us about what you love to make.
Well, as I was a kid, my father used to make chocolate mousse, and I sort of had this nostalgia for mousse. And I remember once going to the 5-star restaurant in Cincinnati called the Masonette. Do you remember that restaurant?
Oh, yes.
And I remember getting the dessert cart rolled out, and they had this mousse in the presentation, but the mousse itself fell flat. It didn't taste great. So I've been searching for a great recipe ever since then. And this St. Patrick's Day, I found Gordon Ramsay's easy chocolate mousse recipe. And it's very simple. It doesn't take hours to make. It only takes 10 to 15 minutes. And I ended up adding a little Bailey's Irish cream to make it more St. Patrick's friendly.
Fun.
Nice.
Yeah, the recipe calls for amaretto. I'm not a big fan of amaretto, but the Bailey's Irish cream made it amazing. And I'm excited to see what recipes for mousse is in this book.
Well,
for chocolate mousse, how do you like your chocolate mousse, Daniel? Do you like it super, super rich? Is that kind of what you're looking for?
I definitely love it rich. And
yeah.
I use dark chocolate using 60% to 70% cacao.
Yeah, a chocolate mousse is usually very dependent on the chocolate that you use in it. That's the main taste you're going to get. I actually brought chocolate mousse in today for the staff here and for Anne. And the recipe I use is actually sort of a cheater's chocolate mousse. It's not a classic one like you would find in a French manual, pastry manual. It's very quick. You make it in the blender, actually. You just mix hot cream with chocolate until it melts, and then you mix it in the blender with a couple of eggs and some milk, and it comes together in like 5-6 minutes. It's super quick.
Is this the deepest chocolate mousse?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it does have raw eggs in it, although you can use pasteurized eggs, or you can pasteurize, you know, you can cook the eggs just a little bit yourself if you have a problem with raw eggs. I know a lot of people avoid them. But it's the most creamy, rich mousse. I specify to serve it in tiny, tiny little cups.
Yeah, I tried it, Daniel. I'm actually allergic to chocolate, but I did try it, and it's really rich, really good.
Yes.
Well, I can't wait to try it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, Daniel. Thanks for the call.
Have a great day.
You too. Okay, listeners, what's your favorite all-time, maybe that memory from childhood dessert, no-bake dessert? Is there a pudding in your past? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, and you can talk to Faith Durand about it. She is with us today to talk about her new cookbook, Bakeless Sweets. So, in your opinion, panna cotta is the perfect dessert.
It is.
What is it and why is it?
So panna cotta is a really silky, smooth pudding that you often eat out at restaurants. It's something you see on almost every restaurant dessert menu. And I've had a lot of very good cooks tell me they thought it was really difficult, partly because it always is on a restaurant dessert
menu.
Must
be hard to make.
Right. Well, the little secret is that restaurants make it because, number one, it's easy, and number two, it holds well in the fridge. It's a very easy dessert to make ahead and then present later. The only things in panna cotta, in the most basic panna cotta, are cream, milk, sugar, and gelatin. You just mix those together, and you cook it just a tiny bit, like 1 minute on the stove, until the gelatin and the sugar dissolve, and then you put it in the fridge, and boom, an hour later, you have a really delicious pudding.
When you just say 1 minute, are you... To what temperature? Do you measure a temperature on it?
Nope. It's not that fussy at all. You just warm it over low heat until the gelatin dissolves. You don't want to boil it. That kills gelatin. It'll just, like, die. You just warm it until the gelatin dissolves, and then you put it in the fridge. And because you don't heat it up very much or for very long, it also sets very quickly. It'll chill quickly. So then that can be a base for anything. Because the gelatin is powerful, you can use non-dairy, like I've used coconut milk or almond milk.
Okay.
You can even use a vegan version of gelatin because, of course, gelatin is an animal byproduct. And so you don't, vegetarians don't eat gelatin, but there are alternatives that are great. So you can kind of, and of course, it's naturally gluten-free. There's no gluten, there's no flour. So it can suit almost every dietary need or preference if you adjust it a bit. And then you can add fruit. You can add fruit, you can add chocolate, you can add coffee, Nutella. I've made a Nutella panna cotta, that chocolate hazelnut goodness. So it's just this very adaptable dessert that's quick and easy and can suit everybody. So that's my sales pitch for panna cotta. I think it's pretty much the most perfect one.
And there's lots of panna cotta recipes, or lots of recipes that use panna cotta in the book, and we can talk about some of those coming up. But I want to remind you that you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Jeffrey in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Hello.
Hi.
My favorite no-bake dessert is we call zebra cake.
Ooh.
And it's pretty simple. You may have talked about it. You take the chocolate wafers and sweet whipped cream. You know, you kind of chalk them between all of them, make a long log, cover it with whipped cream, pop it in the refrigerator for a couple hours, and you slice it on a bias, and you get the little zebra cake motif.
Yeah, that's like the classic. And I love that you call it a zebra cake. I've only, you know, I've heard it called the classic chocolate icebox cake or whatever, but the zebra cake is perfect. Yeah. That's so cute.
It's a family favorite of ours. It's for, you know, every time families get together for any kind of thing, someone brings a zebra cake.
That's awesome.
I love that. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Take care. Once again, the number to call with your favorite old dessert, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have an email from Barry. Barry writes, listening to your comments about ginger snaps and whipped cream reminded me of something my grandmother made called bakeless cake. It was vanilla wafers and pineapple rings melded together overnight in the fridge with walnuts on top. Have you heard of this
one? No, I haven't heard of that. And I love that it's called bakeless because most of the time you don't hear that word. When we were coming up with a title for the book, actually, it was pretty tricky. I didn't like the word no bake. It's negative. And my father-in-law actually came up with the word bakeless. And so it's kind of fun to hear somebody else have a dessert that they've called bakeless as well.
The grapefruit and vanilla bean panna cotta recipe seemed unlikely, and you said that it's not for everyone, but I'm intrigued. I think it's one of the first ones I'm going to make.
I love grapefruit. It's one of my favorite flavors. It's definitely my favorite fruit. And I was really inspired by some of the things that Devin had actually done at Elena's, where she would make a panna cotta with a lot of fruit in it. You can replace some of the milk and panna cotta with juice or fruit. And so I was like, I want to do a grapefruit one. I just love that taste. And so together, it's got that slightly bitter edge of grapefruit, and it's also very intensely just aromatic the way grapefruit is. And so, but yet also very creamy and rich because of the vanilla and the cream.
And it kind of cuts the tartness.
Right. And I think the tartness also balances the sweetness. It's a very interesting play of flavors. I love it. It's one of my favorite ones, but I call it a grown-up dessert because it's not, you know, kids might not appreciate the tart and the bitter in it.
Yeah, it reminds me of another story. One of the attributes of the book, you've mentioned it a couple now times now, is that it's largely gluten-free.
Yep.
Which is a big selling point on your book cover, too. You're aware that this is an issue for a lot of cooks, particularly moms.
Yeah, and obviously I'm not writing this as a gluten-free cookbook. If someone is gluten-free, then, you know, they need to be aware, or if they're cooking for someone who's gluten-free, they need to be aware of the different challenges and needs there. For instance, just because something doesn't have flour in it doesn't mean it's gluten-free. It can be contaminated with gluten in a lot of places in the manufacturing process. So you have to be careful. However, almost all of the recipes in this book are naturally gluten-free in that they don't include flour or flour products. Almost any pudding is gluten-free. Cornstarch is gluten-free. And gelatin should be gluten-free. So I've often encountered people at the kitchen who say, help me, I have to make a dessert for a friend who's coming over tomorrow. Do I need to, like, buy quinoa flour? And I'm like, no, you can make chocolate mousse. It's really easy. Let me show you how. So I just really felt like that's a really great angle on so many of these desserts. They can be very adaptable to different needs and restrictions.
There's so much to choose from in the book to talk about, but I asked my intern, Corinne, to go through the book and pick out what she found most interesting, and I had to agree with her. So let's start with the pumpkin spice pudding with honey caramel sauce.
Oh, yeah.
I like pumpkin so much I could live without the sauce, but not before I tried it first. You said that this makes a lighter pudding than the usual custard in a pie. How do you do that?
You know, it's just a little bit lighter. I don't put in most pie fillings because they need to be cut. You know, they have to be solid to be cut and lift out a piece, are very full of fat. They'll, you know, a lot of cream, maybe even some butter. This one's a little bit lighter because it's just a pudding. It can be whipped. You eat it with a spoon. But I put in a lot of real pumpkin because I am with you. I love that pumpkin taste. I wait all year for pumpkins to come back around.
Gingered brown rice pudding is another one that piqued our interest, and it is gluten-free.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That sounded really good. Something, I don't know where you'd get it, but it sounded familiar almost.
You know, yeah, this is a very sort of, I really love brown rice. I don't eat it just because it's healthier. I eat it because I like the taste, and I felt like that kind of hearty, nutty taste of brown rice would do really well in a pudding. So that one's a little heartier. It's not as sweet. A lot of the grain puddings, you could almost get away with eating them for breakfast.
Oh my God. Music to my ears.
Brown rice for breakfast.
Oh my God. Well, brown rice pudding for breakfast.
Yeah.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. More of my conversation with Faith Durand about her new book, Bakeless Sweets, still to come. But first, here's Rob Walker and Mandy Trimble to tell you about our thank you gift for this hour and to talk about why you should support 89.7 NPR News right now.
I'm Mandy Trimble. Did you know that 89.7 NPR News relies on listener contributions to pay for NPR's reporting and analysis on Morning Edition? Well, that's a fact. And now during our spring fund drive, we're asking you to act on that fact by becoming a contributing listener to 89.7 NPR News. $50. $50, $100, $200, every gift makes a difference at 1-866-897-9678. You can also give online at WOSU.org. And here with more information now is Rob Walker.
Well, when you contribute at the $120 level, Mandy, we have a very nice gift. If you're enjoying today's guest, Faith Duran, we have her book, Bakeless Sweets. And this is something we want you to have as our way of saying thank you for 89.7 NPR News support. This is a great book. It has a reference guide that steers you towards 10 quickest recipes, 10 dairy-free recipes, and 10 recipes for a big crowd. Hmm. This is something we want you to have as our way of saying thank you. If you appreciate what you're hearing today on All Sides with Ann Fisher, well, consider that gift. $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
Perhaps you listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher often. If you do, then know that Ann and her staff work hard to bring you a diverse range of topics, from news of the day to long-term trends. You're going to hear about it on All Sides with Ann Fisher, and you're a part of the conversation. Listeners around Columbus and around the state are invited to join in on the dialogue, to weigh in, to tell their stories, and this is something that only happens on public radio. To support local programming that is truly local, like All Sides with Ann Fisher, please call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org.
And thanks again for your call of support at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. This hour, we have Faith Duran on as a guest, and we are offering her cookbook as our way of saying thank you. So we hope that you take advantage of it because it's only going to be for this hour. $120 will send you Bakeless Sweets. This book is full of puddings, fluffs, icebox cakes, no-bake desserts, and more. $120 gift, that translates to $10 a month as a sustainer at 1-866-897-9678. Molly Hayes and Mark Bartlett, thank you very much for your investment in 89.7 NPR News. We appreciate it. You're getting the book as well. 1-866-897-9678.
We're beginning to notice a change happening in our membership department. Since 89.7 NPR News launched our sustaining membership program, we've noticed that members that have made the switch have been providing the security of a steady, reliable stream of financial support. And that security comes with benefits. Reduced paperwork and mail to renew memberships. On-air fundraising goals get smaller, so we have fewer drive days. And the savings we realize are used to pay the cost of programming, making 89.7 NPR News a better station. Sustaining members are changing the way public radio works, and this is only the beginning. So become a sustainer today. $10 a month will get you the cookbook that we've been talking about. So call 1-866-897-9678 to find out more.
1-866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. In about 2 minutes or so, we're going to get back to the final segment of All Sides with Ann Fisher. Her guest today is Faith Duran. She said, so many great books that we have offered, and this new one just sounds fantastic. It's called Bakeless Sweets, and this book is perfect for spring and summer when you may not want to get the oven heated up in the house and maybe you're barbecuing, but you still need something sweet after you have that burger and brat. This book is full of puddings, fluffs, icebox cakes, no-bake desserts, and more. It's got over 200 recipes in it. It's got over 200 recipes in it, and 100 of the recipes are gluten-free. 1-866-897-9678 or online at WOSU.org.
You're not the only one who relies on this station for news and informed discussions. There are people all over our region who listen every day, but for whatever reason, are not in a position to make a contribution to 89.7 NPR News. And at one point, you may have been in the place where a contribution of $60, $120, or $365 was out of the question. But now, a contribution that works out to just $5 or $10 a month is totally possible. So make it happen. Support this community resource that thousands of people rely on every day. Call 1-866-897-9678. 877-967-9678 or click donate now at WOSU.org. And thanks so much for your support.
Support comes from the Wexner Center for the Arts in association with Catco as Kids, presenting Boats from Australia's Terrapin Puppet Theater. This family-friendly high seas adventure features actors using puppets, acrobatics, and sound effects. May 3rd through the 5th in Studio One at the Rife Center. Tickets and details at wexarts.org.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest in the studio today is Faith Durand. She's the author of Bakeless Sweets, Pudding, Panna Cotta, Fluff, Ice Cream Cake, Ice Box Cake, and more no-bake desserts. Once again, Faith, welcome to the show.
Hi.
If you want to get a look at Faith, we have a picture posted on our Facebook page. You can check it out on Facebook. And while you're at it, you can tell us what your favorite all-time no-bake dessert is, or bakeless dessert. Give us a call, too, 614-292-8513, if you want to go that route, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Ed in German Village, you're on the air with Faith Durand. Welcome, Ed.
Yes, thank you. My favorite bakeless dessert is what I've always called the classic no-bake cookie, and sometimes made with the toasted coconut. But every once in a while, one of the family members will bring a batch of that to a reunion or something, and it'll seem like it's really dry or powdery for some reason. And when we start talking about it, nobody can ever figure out why that happens. Does she have any information as to what we can do to keep that from happening?
So is this the chocolate cookie with oats? I actually don't have one of those in the book just because I think they're so well known. I have other no-bake cookies, but those are one of my all-time favorite no-bake desserts. My mom used to make them for us growing up. I'm the oldest of eight kids, and so cookies that could be ready really fast were a really hot commodity in our house. I think I'm not 100% sure, but I think that usually happens when the syrup, like that chocolate syrup you cook, has been cooked for too long. It takes out too much moisture, and then also I think just the sugar is going to another kind of level of doneness that isn't as good, because if you don't cook it long enough, they stay wet and goopy. So it's really a matter of finding just the right cooking time for that syrup. That's my hunch. I could be wrong.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Ed. Take care. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. There is a goat cheese panna cotta with cranberry port glaze.
Yep.
That, man, that looked so good. It reminded me of Jenny's ice cream. Something
yeah,
that
she would do the goat cheese thing a lot. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
That was inspired by a Thanksgiving appetizer I did one year where I made tiny savory goat. This one is pretty sweet, the one in the book, but you can make it savory by leaving out the sugar. And I did tiny, tiny little goat cheese panna cottas, and I actually topped them. This is so like nerdy, but I topped them with little cutouts of canned cranberry sauce for this Thanksgiving appetizer. It was really funny and
wow,
cute. So that was sort of inspired by that, but it's a good flavor for Thanksgiving or for the fall or Christmas. I really love goat cheese. I love it when it's sweet.
And the glaze idea looks sort of stained, like stained glass.
Yeah,
a lot of
these desserts, if you have the patience and the time to layer different flavors together, really the sky is the limit. You could do a peach panna cotta layered with a milk chocolate panna cotta. I mean, you could do all kinds of things if you like those flavors together. You just make them separately, and after one sets, pour another one on top, and you can do all kinds of fun things with it.
Brent in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Brent.
Yes. First off, Anne, I'd like to appreciate the time on air. And Faith, I think that your work is great. The recipe that I wanted to share with you guys today was a little round angel cake that I would take and cut up some fresh strawberries and put some whipped cream on top and drizzle some hot fudge with sprinkles on top. That was one of my mother's favorite recipes back when I was younger.
That sounds amazing.
To, share with me. And I actually introduced it to my wife, and she actually enjoyed it as well. But I've gotten a little bit bigger, and I've actually added ice cream to that now.
Nice.
I figured I would share that with you guys today.
Oh, thank you very much, Brett. It does sound delicious. Take care.
Bye-bye.
614-292-8513. Thanks for sharing, everybody, your stories about your favorite, your all-time favorite no-bake, bakeless, however you want to put it, recipe for dessert. Very important that it be dessert-oriented. 614-292-8513. We still have a few minutes left. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. All right, here's one of my favorite-looking things in the book, just because for me it brought back a memory, the beach glass jelly squares that look like those Brock white nougat and fruit candies we grew up with. I don't know if they're still out there. I think they are. First of all, I want to know, can you add vodka? how do you make, I mean, what fruit are you chopping up or what are you putting in those?
Well, you're actually making several different fruit jellies.
Okay.
This is a wholesome, you know, whole ingredient.
Leave it to me to make it unwholesome.
Well, no. I mean, if you want to do vodka, I don't do a lot of boozy jellies in this book, but there's another book I can tell you about later that does some really, really great jello shots and that kind of thing. But this one, you just make several different types of fruit jellies. You can use any kind of fruit juice you want. I think for the book we used, like, it looks like lemon, grape, and maybe strawberry or cherry or something like that. And then you just chop up those jellies and then pour an opaque white yogurt jelly over it.
Okay.
So these are kind of tangy. They're very light. They're fruity. I call them beach glass because, you know, beach glass has that kind of lighter, softer quality. This isn't fake food coloring. This is real, the color of real fruit. So it's a little bit softer and gentler. But I love these too. They're great for a picnic. They're great for kids. And they're so nostalgic. You know, you look at this and you're like, oh my gosh, it's just like the things I used to make in childhood.
614-292-8513. We still have a few minutes left, so don't hesitate to give us a call. And Harold in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Harold.
Hi, good morning. Hijacked a dispatch recipe years and years ago called Cherry Surprise. Mm. I don't know if you remember that one or not, but it was in a baking dish, and you used a graham cracker crust, and you could take fruit on the bottom like bananas, and then put a tapioca or vanilla pudding, instant pudding in.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you would put a pie filling, like cherry pie filling topping.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, then put whipped cream, the kind you buy in the store, the frozen kind. And you could top that with a little bit of toasted coconut or nuts if you wanted to, or just leave it plain, and it was absolutely delicious.
That sounds super tasty. Hey, yeah.
Harold, do you let it set for a while to kind of merge the flavors, or is it ready to go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you had it was a layered dessert, and it would maintain its layership, if you will. And, you know, it was one of those kind of desserts that once you bit into it, you just couldn't quit eating it. You know, it was like good salsa or something.
Yeah, these icebox desserts are just the biggest crowd pleasers, which is partly why I wanted to write the book, because there just wasn't much out there about them. But you just really see how people love them.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Okay, before we run out, I'll tell people that my favorite recipe growing up, and I still make it, is the tapioca pudding where you whip up the egg whites to fold into the warmed custard.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to do that when I was little and stayed home sick from school and wouldn't tell anybody. And I have to clean everything
up.
But I had to whip up the egg whites by hand because I wasn't allowed to use electric.
That's a real commitment to tapioca pudding. That's wonderful. I love tapioca pudding. I think some people think it's just so old-fashioned or weird, and I just, oh, my gosh, it's one of the best desserts.
You can't get it either. Remember you used to be able to get it in restaurants all the time?
You need to make it. It's much better made yourself. You can buy it in those little snack packs, but that is just not the same.
No.
Making it is not that time-consuming, and it's so good.
It's definitely worth it for you tapioca people out there.
Yeah.
Okay, before we move on, I have to hit these these desserts from my intern, Corinne. Peanut butter and chocolate buckeye pie.
Yeah. I realized I did a couple of peanut butter desserts, but then I got near the end of the book and I was like, you know what? We need a buckeye pie. And here I am, an Ohio girl, and we need a buckeye pie. So that is for all you people who like your desserts just plain and simple. Chocolate peanut butter, just super sweet and rich and good. It's really tasty.
Okay, Buckeyes out there, there's a really nice Buckeye peanut butter and chocolate Buckeye pie recipe in Bakeless Sweets.
That's right.
I'm talking with Faith Durand. We have just a couple minutes left before we have to break. The blueberry angel food trifle looks so beautiful. I love it in the clear glass bowl,
yeah,
too.
Trifle bowls. They're so old-fashioned and nice to have around. Of course, you can use any kind of big mm-hmm. bowl. It doesn't have to be a trifle bowl. But yeah, that's a really fun one. I really like trifles. They're very English. You think of them as being very British, you know, these big bowls of trifle. And it's just cake kind of tumbled together with pudding and whipped cream and fruit if you want to. So they're very generous. It's a generous dessert to share with a lot of people.
And it's very pretty. Desserts should be
gorgeous.
Pretty.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Don't
gorgeous and easy. You don't have to, like, play with fondant to get it to look pretty. I'm very bad at baking pretty cakes, so that's another reason why I like this kind of thing.
And then did you ever tell me what your favorite was? It was just any kind of panna cotta.
I like panna cotta. I also, you know, I have to say butterscotch pudding is the first thing that everyone asks about. I actually catered my brother's wedding last winter. We did a dinner for 120 people, and I decided they had already had a cake at an early reception. And I was like, I think we should do butterscotch pudding. You can make it ahead. It'll hold well, and people will love it. And people just went nuts over it. Everybody loves butterscotch pudding. It feels very special. To make it at home. And so I have to say I have a soft spot in my heart also for butterscotch pudding.
So you just had single servings?
Yeah, I had these
up.
Cute little bowls, and we put it in these little cups and with tiny spoons, and people just went crazy over it.
Everybody likes scutterbotch. We have time for just one more call if we can get it up there, and we will take it and see what Ed has to say. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Ann. Enjoying the program once again.
Thank you.
One of my dad's favorite desserts, very simple, just angel food cake with fresh strawberries and freshly made whipped cream. And it's light. The flavors, you know, during the summer when strawberries are at their peak is just phenomenal.
Yep.
And, yeah. Yeah. That really shows off fresh fruit.
Yep. And it's quick and it's easy. It's always good. I never get tired of it. And you mentioned the tapioca pudding. I remember growing up, my mom used to make it because it was my dad's absolute favorite. And as a kid, I didn't particularly enjoy it. I think it was a texture thing more than anything. But, you know, it was very elaborate. My mom really put a lot of effort into it, and he really enjoyed it.
So she didn't do the quick version. She did the deluxe version.
Yeah, slow cook on top of the stove.
Right.
Nice.
The tapioca feast and... anyway, but enjoying the program. Great show. That was it.
Thank you, Ed. Thank
you
for calling. And thanks to Faith Durand for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Ann. This is so fun to be here and talk about pudding.
You're listening once again. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And thanks to Faith Durand for joining us today. And now with more information on how you can support our station during our spring membership drive, here's Rob Walker and Mandy Trimble.
More than ever, you rely on 89.7 NPR News and NPR to bring clarity to the day's news. And more than ever, we rely on the money that you give to keep that news on the air. I'm Mandy Trimble, and this is the 89.7 NPR News Spring Fund Drive. Your gift of $60 or $120 today will help us continue to provide this important public service in the coming months. The number to call with your contribution now is 1-866-897-9678. You can also give online at WOSU.org. Joining us now is Rob Walker.
Well, thanks a lot, Mandy, and we appreciate your calls of support. This is your final opportunity to take advantage of the thank you gifts that we're offering right now, and that is for a $120 commitment. That's a $10 a month pledge. As a sustainer, you'll receive Faith Durand's book, Baking Sweets. This book is perfect for spring and summer. You may not want to turn the oven on in the summertime especially, so this is a great book for that. It's full of puddings, fluffs. What's a fluff? got to ask her before she leaves. Icebox cakes, no baked desserts, and more. Is it like marshmallow fluff with peanut butter? So give us a call right now at 1-866-897-9678. $120 gift, $10 a month as a sustainer. We'll be happy to send that to you as our way of saying thanks. 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher, and this is a two-hour daily call-in talk show. The show was unique to 89.7 NPR News. You're not going to find a show like this anywhere else on your radio dial. Civil conversations about state politics, issues at Columbus City Hall, events happening around Ohio. If a two-hour local call-in talk show is valuable to you as a listener, and it must be because you're listening, then we need you to support that with a pledge and whatever amount fits into your budget. That may be $10 a month, and now with Sustainer, that's easier on your checkbook. So visit WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
And WOSU.org, again, is another place that you can make your pledge. We've got some great volunteers out there to take your call. And once again, this is your last opportunity to take advantage of that $120 thank you gift. It is Baking Sweets by Faith Duran. Make a pledge right now of $120. It's $10 a month as a sustainer, and we'll be happy to offer that to you as our way of saying thanks. This book does not use pudding powders. Faith teaches you how to do that on your own. The book also includes recipes for puddings and custards, real fruit jellies, icebox cakes, cookies, and more. More than 100 recipes in this book are gluten-free. That's important. 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. Make that pledge right now of $120 as a one-time gift or $10 a month as a sustainer, and we'll send you Faith Duran's book as our way of saying thanks.
We know you have a lot of choices when it comes to news, and yet your choice for news is 89.7 NPR News. You come to public radio for the experience of the people, like Ari Shapiro at the White House, Nina Totenberg at the Supreme Court, Karen Kassler at our own state house here in Columbus. And these distinctive voices are the ones that you trust to keep you informed and to provide a better understanding of what's going on at home and abroad. They're among the reasons you choose 89.7 NPR News. So choose to become an 89.7 NPR News contributor and support the reporting that you trust. The number to call is 1-866-897-9678 or visit our secure server at WOSU.org. And thanks.
And in just about a minute or so, we'll get into news headlines from NPR and then more of All Sides with Ann Fisher. And we're going to have a really great guest next hour, so we're going to tease it a little bit. You'll have to stay tuned. 1-866-897-9678. Don't forget, it's your last opportunity to pledge $120, and our gift to you is Faith Duran's newest book, Bakeless Sweets. 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
Has it been about a year since your last contribution to 89.7 NPR News? Well, if it has, consider renewing your support today to help keep this station on the air for another year. You'll be able to keep listening even if you can't or choose not to renew your support. But your annual support is what makes 89.7 NPR News worth listening to. If these qualities you appreciate in your radio station, independent, non-sensational reporting are important to you, then renew your support today and keep those in place. It only takes 2 minutes to do so. So go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming on the web at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media.